Morning. This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 16 through 20. You're following along with one of the Bibles provided to you underneath the seat. You'll find that on page 869. Again, Matthew, chapter 19, verses 16 through 20. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?"
Looking for my watcher. Let's read it. All right. What an interesting story we have here in Matthew chapter 19. As David was reading for us and expressing for us there in Matthew chapter 19, Jesus is in the region of Judea. He has already been pestered by the Pharisees with regards to the question of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. After that transpires, there's one that comes to him, and he's got a question, a very wealthy individual. And it's a noble question. Best question the person could ever ask. What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus, you remember, went on and he listed some commandments, to which this rich ruler replied, "All these I've kept from my youth up. But what do I still lack?" Let's think about that question this morning. What do I still lack? I realize most of the times when you hear sermons on this particular passage, we deal with the first question. But I want to focus on the second question today. And that second question, again, is what do I still lack? Thank you. His question was, again, preceded by a question, verse 16. What a noble question. What I gotta do to have eternal life? What a noble concern. Let me ask you this. Are you interested in eternal life? I hope you are. Are you interested in going to heaven? I sure hope you are. The rich ruler was interested in going to heaven as well. But I want you to understand, he felt like something was lacking. If he did not believe something was lacking in his life, he would not have asked the question, "What am I lacking?" I mean, you don't ask a question if it doesn't mean anything to you. If he already would have felt fulfillment, he would have never asked the question, "What am I lacking?" You know, some have suggested that he may have been a checklist kind of guy, you know, the one who has a list of religious items that he must perform, and he goes off and he checks the list. This was the mentality of a lot of Jews in Jesus' day. A checklist religion. In Luke chapter 18, when Jesus was exposing the self-righteousness of the Pharisees, Jesus exposed this type of heart and religious mindset among the Pharisees. Jesus said two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. He says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Now here comes the checklist. Do's and don'ts. I don't do that. Check. And now I'm not one of those. Check. Oh, I do this. Check. Listen to what he says. I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. Check. I'm not unjust. Check. I'm not an adulterer. Check. Or even like this tax collector. Check. Let's move to the other side of the list, God. Here's what I do for you. I fast twice a week. Check. I give tithes of all that I possess. Check. This tax collector, he stood afar off. He wouldn't so much as lift his eyes to heaven, and he beat his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He doesn't come to God with a checklist. He comes to God brokenhearted and wanting and desiring forgiveness of sins. No checklist. I'm not standing here on my own merit. Like, you owe me something, God. You see the difference between these two men. And Jesus is exposing this type of thinking that existed during his ministry. Back to our rich ruler. Jesus listed various commandments to which he replied, all these I have kept from my youth up. Now, I want us to be clear on something. Jesus intended for the ruler to keep God's commandments, didn't he? As a matter of fact, he says that very clearly in Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. Jesus said, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. Jesus never encouraged folks to not keep God's commandments. Now, the reason I say this is because I have heard modern-day preachers provide a modern-day image of a modern-day Jesus. The image is one of a liberal Lord who has released mankind into a land of liberty, religious liberty. If you would. And I know, it sounds sweet, doesn't it? Sounds appealing. Liberty, though, meaning that I can worship God in a manner that makes me happy. With really no regard to what God says about worship. But I'm happy with it, God, and I hope you're good with it, too. I've had discussions with folks in and outside of the church that worship in a manner of will worship. In other words, not his will be done, but my will be done. I'll worship however I want. Because God, and here's the trump card, God has called me to liberty. I'll live however I want to live. I mean, no, not I won't kill anybody. I won't lie. I don't cheat. I don't steal. I'm not a bad person, but I can live as the world lives, and you just leave me alone because God has called me to liberty. Ever heard that kind of reasoning before? It exists. Sadly, when some ministers preach sermons on liberty, they
opened their minds and mouths up so wide that it contradicts Scripture rather than complements it. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, Jesus said that He has come to fulfill the law, meaning that He came to keep the law. However, Jesus was not, let's be clear on this, Jesus was not a fan of the traditions of men. A perfect example of this is in Matthew chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there in Matthew chapter 15. Beginning in verse 1, and it says, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees, who were from Jerusalem, said to Jesus, and they said, 'Well, why do your disciples transgress the traditions of the Word of God? Of the elders. For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread.'" You see, in Jesus' day, there was a litany of laws, man-made laws, that formulated, came into existence, that the Jew in Jesus' day held in higher regard than God's law. Why aren't your disciples doing the ritualistic hand washing that our elders suggested that they do? And he answered and he said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your traditions?" Do you see what Jesus just did there? Your traditions are not complementing God's Word, they're opposing God's law. And he gives an example, doesn't he? "For God commanded them, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your traditions.'" In other words, any prophet that came along in your life, instead of helping your parents, well, what you've done is you've taken that, you say, and you've given that, perhaps, at the temple, and, well, I've offered it to God. Or I've used it in some way to help God, instead of helping your poor parents. Your traditions have set aside God's commandments. Jesus was no fan of man-made traditions that set aside God's commandments. Jesus always instructed his disciples to obey God's commandments. So what does it tell us, though, when we look at the rich ruler? And we consider his circumstances. What do we know about him? What do we learn about him? Well, one of the things we learn about him was that he was religious. Had an appearance of being religious. We might even call him, because he was familiar with the commandments of God, he obeyed the commandments of God, We might even say he's a good churchgoer. He had that box checked. In his estimation, he had been keeping the commandments of God since his youth. Typical thinking of a Jew. Got my checklist. Here it is. Handing it to you, God. Let me ask, is it enough? Was it enough for him to define religion in such a way that it was only a matter of do's and don'ts? Checks and balances. Or was there something more to it than a ritualistic, mundane exercise that had to be done to please God? Was there more to it than that? Friends, I would suggest to you that if it were enough, simply enough, he would have never asked the question, what am I lacking? What do I still lack? Something was lacking. A ritualistic, mundane, and mechanical exercise wasn't enough to bring fulfillment to the life of a follower of God. Because he asked, and he was already doing those things, what am I lacking? And Jesus is going to show it. If it would have been enough, he would have never asked the question. Again, not de-emphasizing obedience to God's commandments at all. I think the point has been clearly illustrated. But does religion solely consist of a checklist? Is it confined and defined to do's and don'ts? Or is there something more to it? I'll come back to that point in just a moment. What else do we know about this rich ruler? We know that he was wealthy. How wealthy was he? Don't know. The scriptures just simply say in verse 22 that his possessions were great. How did he acquire his wealth? Don't know. Scriptures don't tell us. Not sure. You know what? It really doesn't matter. But his wealth brings up another matter to discuss. You see, if the rich ruler felt something was still lacking and he had great possessions, what does that tell us about one finding fulfillment in riches? Even wealth doesn't bring. Riches are not the key to happiness. But isn't that what most people think? As long as I'm rich, I'll be happy. I remember a girl expressing that when I was graduating high school. She said, all I want to do is graduate out of here and marry some rich dude and be and live happily ever after. That's what she said. But that's the modern thinking today, isn't it? But the sad reality is this. Rich people who trust in their riches do not oftentimes live happily. As a matter of fact, sometimes, a lot of times, are the unhappiest people on the face of the earth. I'm reminded of the comments of that wise preacher in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10. Solomon said, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Oh, if I just got more, I'd be happy. And Solomon is saying, no, that's not the case. You get more, you always want more. You always want more. Solomon basically views wealth as being uncertain. It is here today, it's gone tomorrow. One cannot find fulfillment in his possessions. So if fulfillment cannot be found in checklist Christianity, and fulfillment cannot be found in possessions or wealth, then where can fulfillment be found? How can one find fulfillment and not be lacking? Jesus provides the answer to that question. Jesus would tell the rich ruler, take all of your possessions, sell them, give them to the poor. Just give them to the poor. Come on and follow me. Follow me. Jesus was giving a personal invitation to this rich ruler. He was giving him a personal invitation. Here's what I want you to do. You're asking about something that is lacking. Come with me. Walk with me. Talk with me. Let me show you how to live like me. Be my friend. Are you getting it? Friends, this is more than check the box Christianity. The rich ruler had a religion. Jesus was showing him how to have a relationship. And there is a big difference. He's illustrating that thing that is lacking. That person who can help him find fulfillment in his life. Let me provide you with another illustration. Vince and I were discussing this topic the other day. I'm married. Yes, that woman I've been running around with, she's my wife. My wife notoriously has a honey list. Now, if you're married, I guarantee you of two things. A, you know what a honey list is. And B, you have a honey list. I have one right now. I'm here to tell you that if our relationship only and solely consisted of, here's your honey-do list, our marriage is doomed to fail. That it's doomed to fail. We have a relationship. Now, I realize some may say, yeah, but it's not apples to apples. I realize that. When we're talking about our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with our wives, it's not apples to apples, but I can assure you of this, it's not apples to acorns either. Great men and great women of faith in either the Old Testament or the New Testament are all individuals who walked with God. Go back and look. Why did God select Noah? He walked with God. Why did God select Abraham? He walked with God. Why did God communicate through the prophets? They walked with God. Why was it that the church held the apostles in high esteem? They walked with Jesus. Even the Sanhedrin hadn't acknowledged the fact these men had been with Jesus. It represents more of a relationship than a ritual. I would hope and I would pray. The thing that you have going on between you and the Lord consists more of, I go to church on Sunday. Check. Ever heard anyone say,
I did my good deed for the week?
Check. But it's more of, and I'm glad you go to church. And I'm glad you do good deeds. But it's deeper than that, friends. It is walking with Him. It is talking with Him. It is trusting Him. It is having faith in Him. It is looking at life through spiritual lenses. It is being built up through His Word. It's a relationship. Last point, this weapon is yours. There was an obstacle, though. There was an obstacle that was preventing the ruler from following Jesus. And it was his wealth. In his case, his possessions possessed him. It served as a distraction from him following Jesus and making Jesus the Lord of his life. When Jesus told him to shuffle everything off to the poor and come on and follow me, did he do it? He didn't do it. Because his possessions were great. You see, his possessions possessed him. His wealth was his God. That was his God. Let me ask you, what obstacles are preventing you from following Jesus? What distractions are hindering you from walking and talking with God? Are you lacking fulfillment? Jesus says, come, follow me. That's what he told the rich ruler. Back to the tax collector in the temple. When you come to Jesus, you come broken. You don't come with a checklist. You come broken. And only the Savior can heal you and help you and save you. If you've not obeyed the gospel, I want to invite you to do so today. To come forward this morning, repenting of your sins. Confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And go live for Jesus. Go show the world Jesus living in you. Maybe you've done that. You've strayed away. Maybe you clearly understand the difference between being religious and having a relationship and being religious. And there's something more to it. Let the Lord fill you. Let Him fill you with His Spirit, with His goodness, with His Word. So you can be all the man, the woman, the obedient son, the obedient daughter that God has called you to be. If you feel you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward together. We stand.